and welcome to Grief Unfiltered, a podcast about grief and how the fuck to handle it. I'm your host, Jamie Ailes. I miss you guys. I am so excited to be back. This is episode 3 of the new season. So yeah, I hope y'all are doing well. My guest today is Gianna. She is the host of the podcast, So Sorry for Your Loss. And it is very similar to Grief Unfiltered, where she is 32 years old. She lost her father 4 years ago. She's the new mom, and she is just navigating life in grief. She wants the conversation about grief to go farther than just So Sorry for Your Loss. Check out her podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We had a great conversation. It's always fun when you're talking to a fellow podcaster because they kind of get it. Like, we all just want to talk. And so there's a lot that we unpacked this episode. Gianna talks about her father losing him suddenly 4 years ago and just what the past few years have been like. We talk about motherhood and grief. We talk about why she decided to start her podcast, and she shares a few stories that one had my jaw literally on the ground and I was speechless. So ignore that moment of silence. And then some had me laughing, and then just some awesome conversations about grief in general. We also discussed entertainment and grief, just the media and grief, how the media makes grief seem. And yeah, there was a lot to unpack. I really enjoyed talking to Gianna. Like I said, we're both 32. We both have lost a parent and we're both new moms. So we had a lot to relate to. All right, y'all, without further ado, here is Gianna.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. If you don't mind, let's just start out by introducing yourself, kind of paint a picture for the audience.
Yeah. So I'm from Philadelphia. Like you said, I'm 32 years old, but I also feel like still like a 17-year-old who doesn't know her way around the world, and also a 75-year-old at the same time after everything that I've been through the last couple years with grief. Definitely ages you. But I'm married. I have a beautiful baby girl. I know you just welcomed a baby girl too. Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about mom stuff.
Club.
A little girl named Sienna. And I just love music and all things entertainment news and just being outside in the sun and having a grand old good time. But 4 years ago, it was 4 years in May, my dad did pass away. He had a heart attack. So I say it was sudden because it was sudden. I mean, obviously a heart attack, you know, there's really no planning for that. There aren't any signs until it happens. But there was 5 days that he was in the hospital. So it wasn't like he, you know, had the heart attack and was gone and there was nothing we could do. Mm-hmm. But I never spoke to him again. I mean, once he was in the hospital, he was not conscious at all. And it actually was like a brutal, brutal experience, basically just watching him die and watching it get worse and worse over days. And I don't know if there's some sense of it where it almost does it make me feel a little better in the end that it kind of was my decision making what to do. I don't know. I didn't really, you know, did I have a choice? You know, the doctors presented to us like, here's what we could do. And the options to keep him here weren't great, you know, and I knew my dad would never want to live that way. My grandmother who was still alive when he passed, she was very with it mentally, but physically was failing. And my dad always used to joke around. My dad was a golfer and he would say, oh God, if I ever get to that point or something ever happens to me, just take me out back and hit me with a 9-iron. Like that's who he was. He was, you know,
it's not
sarcastic,
funny,
aggressive and funny like that. Even though it was a joke, and there were plenty of other jokes he made about his death. And, you know, at the time I'd be like, oh, don't talk like that. Like, why are you saying that? Because I was a person of, you know, like the rest of society. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. We're going to bring it on if we say something.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad he made those jokes now, because it actually kind of gave me a window into what he really wanted and for me to truly honor his wishes. And it would have been selfish for me to say, yes, keep trying. Let's see what we can do to keep him around. That's not the life that he would have wanted. So, you know, did I really have a choice? No.
Yeah.
But I guess in the end, you know, I feel like I was able to have some hand in what happened. Like, I really feel for people who have losses by suicide. I just think that's just got to be extremely tough for the people that are left behind to figure that out mentally. So that 5 days in the hospital was horrible, and
it hot the hospital or was it hospice?
It was at the hospital. So he was brought to a local hospital and then in the suburbs, and then was helicoptered down to the hospital that I work at in Philadelphia.
That's great.
And at first I felt better with that because I'm like, all right, I have a hand here. I can pull some strings. I can do that. You know, I at least felt, you know, you feel so helpless in times like this. Like, what could you possibly do? And just the little things of like, oh, I'm going to email this person and see if they can do this, or I'm going to talk to this person. And it made me feel like I could do something. And just to feel like he was in the best care possible, but it ended up being the worst thing because it was really, really hard for me. And still to this day is hard. And I actually do attribute that to why my mental health has been a little bit better over the last year, or just different, because I haven't been in the office since March of 2020.
Wow.
And since the pandemic kicked off, and to just not have to go to that place every day really did wonders for me. Yeah. It really did.
I can't imagine. Oh, I hate when people say that about grief. Sorry. I just caught myself saying, I can't imagine not having, you know, but like when my mom passed away in College Station, and I live in Houston, so it's like an hour and a half drive. And anytime I go back to College Station and I have to like drive past the hospice, like, oh, it is the worst gut-wrenching feeling. So to have that be your normal every day, to have to go there, I feel like that's like throwing salt on the wound. You can't help it. It's your job. But like, still.
Yeah, it was. And that's the interesting thing, is that they did nothing wrong. I have nothing but amazing things to say about the care that they gave at Jefferson, but it just was a massive like black cloud over that place. And I would have, and I mean, gosh, this was even like 2 years ago. So even 2 years past his death, I was just having a really bad time. You know what it was? I went off of my antidepressants because I was on this kick that I was going to get pregnant. I was going to do it clean and I was not going to have that in my system. And I tried going off of them and it was terrible.
I've done that too. And it was probably like 2 years after my mom died.
Yep. And I was just like, I just felt heavy. I felt like constantly, like I was like shaking and on edge. And I had a one-on-one with my boss, and I just remember feeling like I was giving him attitude about like the littlest things, which is so not me. We had such a great rapport. And I went back to my office and I just sat there for a second and I was like, I can't do that. Like I got up and I went back in, I like barged into his office and I just remember him sitting there like, oh my God, what's going on? And I was like, I have to apologize. I'm really sorry. I don't feel good. I don't feel like myself. Like, I don't know if you felt it that I was. And he's like, I mean, I could see that something was wrong, but I didn't take offense to it. Like, are you okay? You know, when somebody asks you that.
I was just going to say, and then you're like, done.
Let the floodgates open. And I like screamed at him and I was like, no, I fucking hate it here. And he was like, okay, why don't you take the rest of the day off? And I'm like, what?
That's not funny, but
take a day. Yeah, I anything that had to do with that place just really got under my skin, and I hated being around it. It was like, I might as well have been working for the funeral home. Mm-hmm. You know, like it just was so hard, and I really, I took maybe like 2 days off after that. And I don't think I got out of bed. And I just remember crying to my husband. He came home that night and I'm laying in bed just crying and saying, I feel so, so sick. I feel so sick. And it was one of those examples of just how physical grief really can be. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too long after that that I went back on the medication because, you know, then it's really affecting your daily life. I couldn't go to work. You know,
thank you for sharing that. And also with the grief and like physical, and then just like how like certain places in grief, that's just when people haven't lost someone, they don't think about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you think of grief as just missing someone. And it's like, no, like I can't, or there are certain places I go to that make me like physically sick, like being around because of my grief journey. And it's just, it's something I learned the hard way. Like I had no idea that was part of grief.
Yeah.
Like I thought of grief as like the movies, how they show it.
Right.
And so I was just, it's a whole other roller coaster. Piggybacking off that real fast. I know this isn't in the order of our questions, but that's why I started my podcast was like, I need to, like, other people are dealing with this. Like, we need to talk about this. And I want to interview people and see like what works for you, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with grief. So what made you start your podcast and how has that journey been like?
So I look back and I'm like shocked that I even had the wherewithal to think of it at the time, you know, like, cause he passed in May and it was around the summer when I started thinking like, what if I did like a podcast or something? And I knew nothing. I listened to a few, but I knew nothing about how to do it.
What did you listen to?
Gosh, I don't even remember. I mean, just like little, like, you know, here and there, like I wasn't like a super fan of anything specifically.
I'm like a super fan.
I am now, but like back then it wasn't. That's why I think it's so weird, because it wasn't like podcasts were like a huge part of my life. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I think what really did it was I had asked my uncle to give my dad's best friend, who I call my uncle, you know, everybody has like uncles, fake uncles. I asked him to do the eulogy for my dad, and he had come back and said, gee, I really think you need to do this. Mm. And I've always been a good public speaker. I went to school for broadcast. Like, I'm not shy getting up in front of people or getting in front of a camera. And he said, I just think you're going to wish you had if you didn't. And I'm so happy that he pushed me to do that. I did the eulogy. It really was incredibly empowering for me. Kind of like the final goodbye to my dad. Mm-hmm. And the feedback I got from everybody, I actually have a really funny eulogy story too that I could tell. So we're Catholic, raised Catholic. We did it in the Catholic church. And my dad always had this thing where he would say, oh, I need a bucket of vodka. I want a bucket of vodka. I want a bucket of vodka. And that was his drink that he would order at places where they knew him. He would just get vodka on the rocks with the water on the side, and he would maybe pour the water into it to, you know, ease it down. But it was his bucket of vodka. And that's what everybody said. So I don't remember the specific words. I should look it up again. But I said something. I'm up, you know, at the altar. And I said, you know, I hope everybody can just pour a bucket of vodka and carry on his memory, or something to that effect. And the church erupts into applause.
Yes.
Mind you, before, my husband is Jewish and we were just dating at the time. And I had to say to him, like, also, don't clap after my speech, because they don't do that in church. Like, nobody claps in church. And the entire church erupted into applause. And it was so wonderful. And I was like so grateful that everybody reacted that way.
Yeah.
And then I had people coming up to me after going, wow, that was really something. That was really, really edgy. You know, like some of the older people were like almost like offended. And this one woman goes, did the priest know you were going to do that? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I guess I was going to talk about the alcohol. Like, was that like a problem that I said vodka, whatever? Come to find out a few weeks later that a lot of people thought I said, pour yourself a fucking vodka and carry on his memory. For the listeners that can't see this, Jamie has her mouth over her hand over her mouth.
I'm just thinking that setting and the cat, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah. I was horrified. I had to call a bunch of people. When my aunt like told me this, she was like, I was wondering if I should even tell you, but when you started telling me some of the comments you were getting from people, I thought I had to call like the entire guest list and apologize. I wanted to put something out on Facebook.
I was gonna say social media.
Friends that were there were like, no, you definitely said the F word. I was like, no, I didn't. They were like, no, G, you said the F word. I was like, no, I didn't.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so like, I don't know if I totally like blocked my way out of heaven because I am cursing at the altar in the middle of the Catholic church, or what, but yeah, that was
so chills. That's a cool story. Like, I just feel like I didn't know your dad, but I'm like, I assume he would
He was laughing his ass off. Okay. He was certainly laughing his ass off up there. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if it were him that like tweaked the acoustics in the church just to make it sound like that. So he really like wanted me to have like a mic drop moment. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I forgot about that until talking about that's all this amazing stuff. So I'm glad you went in this direction.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so like after that experience, I was like, you know, I really felt good doing that public speaking. I wonder if there's something else that I could do that would be like that. Went down, you know, just Google searching, and I saw that they had storytelling competitions in Philadelphia. I went and I won. I won my very first storytelling competition, and that really just kind of fueled the flame of like,
that's awesome.
Girl, you might like have something here. Like, maybe you should be out talking a little bit more or telling stories, and what better to start than with what you're going through? Mm-hmm. And I definitely kind of like you found like there wasn't really anything focused towards us, young people that lose their parents at the, you know, not the time that they should. And, and just talking about it in candid, unfiltered ways. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, what if I turn this into something? And I kind of went from there.
And like light, it doesn't always have to be so serious, like the conversation. So, and then how did you come up with the name? I love that.
It was just like, that's what everybody kept saying to me. And not that there's anything wrong with it, but there's just so much more to the conversation. You know, like I think that people say, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. And then they don't know what to say after that. And I'm guilty of it too, you know? And it just, there's, I just felt like, first of all, if you heard it, you knew what it was about.
Yeah.
Because that's what you say when something happens.
Yep.
And my whole thing is like, I want to take the conversation further than so sorry for your loss.
Yep.
And to have people understand what to be able to say to somebody going through it, going through grief.
Yeah. So check out her podcast. And of course I'll link everything and I'll have you pimp out your Instagram and stuff at the end. But anyway, okay. Back to grief. When your father passed away, you were just dating your husband at the time, right?
I had moved in with him on Saturday, and I had even invited my dad down to like come help. And my dad had really bad back problems, which it's like he's had them like since I was born. But it's of course it's like he at the end kept saying his back hurt really bad, his back hurt really bad. And, you know, we look back on it now and we're like, was it really his back? Like, was it like maybe was he like, was it his heart? Was he failing? And he didn't want to tell us, or he didn't know and really just thought it was the same pain from the back. So he said he couldn't come down to help move boxes and stuff. And I said, no, you know, we don't need that. I just want you to like come celebrate us moving in together. We'll have dinner. And he couldn't make it. And then Tuesday night into Wednesday, he had the heart attack.
Wow.
So there's something there too, where I have to feel like God knew that I was okay. God knew that I was with somebody who could take care of me in a time when I was going to need it. And like, cause I think about it, like, God, if I was in the living situation I was before, I was with a roommate who was friendly, but like we weren't really like as close, and, or just like even living by myself, like, I don't know what I would have done. Like, just to be in a position where I was with somebody who could help me through it.
Yeah.
Or even for my dad, just to feel like she's okay now. Like, she's with the person who she's going to be with for the rest of her life, and it's okay for me to go.
Yeah. You're an only child, right?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely have to unpack all that. But
are you an only child?
No, but a lot of people that are guests on my podcast are, and that's a big talking point of like,
oh my God, then I need to connect with all of them, because that's something I'm having a hard time with right now.
Okay. So, and one of my best friends, she was like my episode 3, and her father suddenly passed away. It was drug related, and she's an only child. And she's like, she just looks at, cause I have 2 brothers and we're very close. And she's always like, I wish I had a sibling to like feel the feelings with and like talk the memories with. Cause she's like, I don't have anyone to talk to about him, like that know these memories. So I can only imagine it being another obstacle in your grief journey.
It really is. I mean, I have a couple thoughts on that. So my dad did not get along with his sister at all. I mean, she was not in our life. She did not attend the funeral. And my dad, I used to joke and say, like, you know, Dad, why didn't you guys have more kids? And the real answer to that is because they divorced like a minute after I was born. But his answer was, you know, well, too, we got it right the first time. We had a great kid. We didn't need another one. Ha ha. Thanks, Dad. But he was like, listen, I did you a favor. Like, having a sibling is no treat. It can be really difficult. And I did you a favor of being the only.
That's my husband's mindset, too. He's not close to his sister. So I get that part, too.
And there is. And I've seen that with other families where they grieve very differently. It creates a lot more problems. They had very different relationships with the person who passed. They're basically grieving two different people. Yeah. You know, so it can definitely create issues. But I also, like, I really would love to have somebody who's grieving the same person that I am. And that actually is a reason why I became really close with his girlfriend, my dad's girlfriend. They were together for like 20 years and her and I did not have a good relationship. And we spent the 6 months, if not a year after his passing, really gutting out our issues.
Wow.
And really kind of making a dedication to each other and saying, hey, we're it, you know, we're the people that were closest to him. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose you. And now I call her my stepmom. Now we call each other all the time. Now, like, she's in my daughter's life and I'm so happy that she is. So it can go in either direction where it really completely destroys family relationships or it makes them better and builds them stronger. But it's, yeah, I'm going through right now, especially having a birthday just recently, a day where you expect your family or your parents to be around, and when they're not, it's hard. I just feel alone. I feel and I could not be surrounded by more friends and family and people that love me and care about me, and I feel so fortunate about that. But that's depression and that's grief, that like the actual, like the truth of something doesn't really matter because the grief can take over so bad and just make you feel otherwise. And if you were to ask me on Sunday night, the night of my birthday, like, I was an orphan and I had no one, and you couldn't tell me otherwise. I mean, I just laid in bed and watched Netflix and cried. Aww. And I hate that is the way that it is, but there are, you know, 2 days earlier I was on top of the world and I felt great and everything's okay. And, and so I'm kind of just like recovering from that this week. And it's weird because his death anniversary this year was fine. And other years, my birthday is fine. But this year it was like reverse, where my birthday actually hit me harder than his death anniversary. And it's because of this community that I'm so happy to have found. And because of people like you and your podcast, when I listen to these things and I hear that, and I know to kind of expect that, and I know that something isn't wrong and I'm not crazy or whatever. It's just, that's what this world is. And to kind of just take it in stride.
I'm sorry.
That's
tough. And that's the thing, like, sometimes there's no answers. There's nothing I can be like, oh girl, you should try that. Like, no, I don't know.
I've just learned to just let myself feel it. Just let myself feel it. Try not to fight it so hard. And that's what I did. I mean, you know, my mind just needed a break, I guess. I just really missed him that day.
And when you said like you feel alone or you're alone, that's something, and I know we're kind of going all over the place, sorry, but that's something when I became a mom and I felt like my motherhood and grief journey, I don't know, I felt like I was starting over with my grief journey and I felt alone again. I was just like, already I feel like being a new mom is very, at least for me, I felt very alone a lot. You know, I was on maternity leave. Everyone's working, you know, everyone has their life. And I'm just like at home with this baby. Like, I don't know what to do. And then, you hear everyone else like, oh yeah, well, my mom came and lived with me for like 2 months, or, oh, we stayed at grandma's for, and I'm like, must be nice because I'm literally sitting here by myself thinking 5,000 things. But if my mom was here, she would be here with me right now, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to pull you here and say, I can't imagine, because I can't, I mean, I, I'm one of those people. My mom came and lived with us for 3 weeks, and I'm so grateful that she did. And, you know, in that time, I didn't really feel the loss of my dad, because that wasn't something that he would have done. Like, he would have been there. He would have visited, but he wouldn't have like moved in and cooked me dinner.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like my mom did.
I wonder if that's why I felt it so hard. That would make sense.
Yes. So when I did feel it, ironically, is like a Sunday, we were sitting there watching football with the baby. And okay. I was like, this is the moment where my dad would have been here. And this is the moment where I can feel that he's not. So I can imagine in that entire time where, you know, the mother would be there helping is something that would have felt extremely heavy on
heavy.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there are times like that where it's, I start to feel it of like, oh, just even like a Saturday night, like sitting out back watching the sunset. I'm like, my dad would be here drinking a glass of wine right now. And like the fact that he's not is hurtful. But so I listened to another podcast that talked with Hope Edelman. So she is the author of Motherless Daughters.
Okay. And then I've went heard on that to, book. That's funny.
Yeah. Then went on to write something called Motherless Mothers, I believe. So probably a really good resource out there to look into.
Okay.
I'll but in this podcast, she said something to the effect of there's new old grief when you become a mother. Mm-hmm. And that is grieving somebody in a different way. Mm-hmm. So you and I have grieved your mom as a mom, my dad as a dad. We have not grieved them yet as a grandparent.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what we're going through. It's this new stage of our life, this new relationship that they would have to us, and kind of considering that, because that wasn't something that we thought about before, or at least to be in the experience of it, to really see what it means or you know, how it correlates with our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely something that I've gone through recently. And even with my mother-in-law, my husband's mom passed away 6 months before we got married. And it's the same thing. I do the same thing with her of like, oh my God, she would love this right now. I wish she was sitting here with us. Or or what would she be like as a grandmother? Or, oh, I'm sure she would, you know, have bought 7 dresses for her today or something like that. But hearing that again helped me be like, okay, well, there's a name for it. There's something to be able to unpack here or understand why I'm having those feelings. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get that in multiple stages of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever the next thing is, when our child is a teen and we're going through those brutal years and we just wish we had our parent to be there to help us with it, or, you know, whatever it may be. I think there's stages. I don't want to say stages, because when we say stages of grief, people think about the Kubler-Ross, but the different decades of your grief, the different steps of it as you move and grow as a person.
Yeah.
You know, I think about it even here with this podcast. You know, the success that we're seeing with it is something I wish my dad could be here for.
I know. Isn't
wish
that funny?
Your mom could see you doing what you're doing, you know? And so as things just change in your life, you'll grieve them differently because your life is changing and going in different ways.
Which is crazy, because when my mom died, like I said, I was so lost of like, I don't know what to feel. I did not expect grief to be such a layered thing. It's like, oh my God, I watched Shrek the other night. It's like an onion. Like so layered and just like, now I'm like, fuck, I'm going through like I said, I feel like I'm starting over with my grief journey like 5 years later, because I just had my daughter, and it's interesting. And then even just little things, like so many questions I wish I would have asked my mom about, like me as a baby and like her pregnancy and stuff like that. So anyway, what shocked you about grief? Was there something when your dad died and you, even the first year, even now, that you were like, whoa, was not expecting that?
That's such a good question. I think probably the physical nature of it. It really took me down and still does. Like I said the other day, like I just couldn't move. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to do anything. But though I actually like developed some type of condition that I would cry so hard that I would throw up almost every time that my body now thinks that that's the response. So anytime I get like really, really anxious, or if I'm crying even just a little, like there's like a 9 out of 10 that I'll throw up with it. Yeah.
Oh, and you said, okay, sorry, totally like going off, but you said your pregnancy, you were pretty sick the whole time too, right?
Yeah. I was really, really sick the whole time. I threw up until about 35 weeks.
That's crazy.
So yeah, because, and that was something that my husband would like check in with me and be like, hey, like, are you feeling anxious? Like, are you nervous about something? Is the pregnancy all right? Like, everything's okay. You don't need to be worried about that. Or like, should we just talk about this? And I was like, you know, I really appreciate you checking in, but this is just different. Like, this is like, this baby is like trying to get out, or is partying in there way too hard, or something.
She is a bucket of vodka.
she is drinking in there. But it's funny because now I have her, and it totally makes sense because she has just got like so much energy to share.
Really?
That, like, I could see that she was just like churning away in there. Like,
huh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, what, just to wrap up like the grief part, what is the best advice you received about grief, and what advice do you have to give people that are going through a loss?
Yeah, the best advice I received was from, and I don't even know if he knows this because I get asked this a bunch and this is always my answer. Oh. And I should probably sit him down and let him know.
Aww,
it was
for
my husband's cousin who lost his mom when he was like late teens, early 20s. Mm. And he just called me a couple weeks after and was just like, hey, you know, like, are you doing okay? How's it going? Just wanted to check in. And kind of just said, like, just confront all of it. Just do it now. Make sure you don't pack it down. Make sure you don't put it away for another day. Really take it in, go through your feelings, make sure you get it out, because you're just going to make it harder on yourself later.
Hmm.
And that was like, I don't even know if I knew then how like monumental in my life that was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do think it's so true, because, you know, I like to say for some people with their grief, it's taking, I'm big on analogies, it's like taking a box and putting away glasses. Like if you're moving and you're taking the glasses out of the cabinet and you're simply putting them in the box, it's a little time consuming. You got to wrap them up. You got to make sure they're like put in there nicely so they don't break, but then you can close the box and you can do whatever you need to do with it. With me, I felt like somebody took a stick of dynamite and put it in the cabinet and then said, okay, now take the shards of glass, put them back together into a full glass, and then put them in that box. Like, I had a complicated relationship with my dad. He was a best friend to me, but he was a pain in the ass. I mean, he was really difficult to get a hold of. In some situations, I felt like he wasn't there for me at all. In other situations, I felt like he would go kill somebody if I needed him to. Like I wasn't really sure which one I was going to get sometimes. And there was a lot for me to dissect in that relationship. And after my husband's cousin telling me that, I took the time and I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it saved me so much now and in later years. Like, I grieve him, but I know who I'm grieving now, where I didn't really know. I didn't know how to pinpoint our relationship before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I encourage everyone to do, is really take the time, go through anything that you need to in your mind about that person, ask family members all the questions that you need to, sit down and analyze the way you feel about it, and be okay with it. And I put so much pressure on myself to just like, I look back and I'm like, oh, it's been 3 months. I should be fine by now. 3 months, bitch. It's 4 years and I'm still feeling it. You know, like, you are okay to feel what you need to feel. Allow yourself that.
Yeah.
Allow yourself the days that you can't get out of bed, the days that you don't want to go meet up with your friends. People are going to understand. And if they don't, fuck them. They're not your friends anyway.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Be as selfish as you can, because that's your time to be able to do that. You're only going to make it better for yourself later on if you can do that in that really acute phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. You, like I said earlier, my girlfriend, Natalie, who's an only child, she had the same thing to say about her dad.
She's like, I feel like Natalie and I need to chat.
You do. 'Cause she's amazing. And she's done a lot of work with like she meditates and does like all the more holistic spiritual stuff. But she's like, I love my dad, but he was an asshole. And same thing, like you never know like who you're gonna get. So hearing you say that, I'm like, whoa, that was like very similar. But yeah, I'm gonna send her this episode and then I'll send you her Insta because
I would love that.
She the way she talks about grief is so like beautiful. Like she's so like intellectual about stuff. And I'm just like,
oh, she doesn't curse like a sailor like I do.
No, exactly. Different ways. But for her, I'm just like, I'm always so zen. I'm like, oh, that was so like spiritual. Thank you. But anyway, okay. So one thing, and I'm sure we're going to go back into grief more, but I was so excited to talk to you because you like entertainment and Bravo and the media and gossip. And I love all that stuff. It's something that my listeners know I love. I'll talk about it in intro episodes. And especially when there's grief in the news or grief on a magazine cover, or someone lost someone. So I'm excited to kind of dive into that with you. Are there any stories that stick out right away, like bringing up like entertainment and grief that you want to talk about, or just kind of like, I'm just curious to hear your take on how the media handles grief.
Yeah. I don't know about how the media handles grief specifically. I mean, I do think that they've been shedding light on it more in recent years. Like E! News does a really great job at that, where they'll highlight people that have passed, and not just that, but like other celebrities' responses to it, or like the death anniversary of somebody in a celebrity's family and how they're celebrating it. Yeah. So I feel like they've done a good job of bringing it more to the forefront of just being, you know, part of life. And here's something else that's going to be in our feed. Just like we're saying, oh, there was this movie premiere. We're also going to tell you that Robin Williams, his son, just made a tweet about his dad's passing 7 years ago, like that kind of thing. And say what you will about the Kardashians, but that family has really kept their father at the forefront of everything that they do.
Yep.
And they have bonded so much since his passing. And I mean, they were always a very close family, but I think that was what I always loved about them. As crazy as they were, as drama filled as they were, at the heart of it all, they were a real family. And they had their issues, but they loved each other. They came together. And I really value them for talking about it as much as they do. And they're definitely ones that honor their dad's birthday, honor their dad's death anniversary. And I mean, holy shit, can we talk about the fact? I wanted to talk about this so bad on my social, but like, I just think I was in such shock. I didn't even know what to say about it. But on last season, when Kanye got Kim the hologram,
I talked about it on the podcast.
What would you even do? I don't know.
That's what I did, like a poll on my Insta, like, would y'all want this? Because part of me is like, I don't know if I would want it. Like, that's too much.
I feel sick right now even thinking about it. Like, I could start crying. Like, even thinking if you were like, well, Gianna, just so you have it, I have a hologram of Gary right here. I wouldn't even know what I would do. I would probably go into convulsions, but then I'd be like, okay, let me see it again.
Well, and I like, cause like, I remember it was big on like social media that he did that, but then watching the episode, cause you're like, whoa, that's trippy, like blah, blah, blah. But then watching the episode and watching their reactions, I was like, I was crying. I was like, that's amazing. Like, what a gift.
So what I also wondered is like, did he let the other sisters know that this was happening? Because that's a huge bomb to drop on somebody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if your brother's friend did that for you, or did that for your brother while you were in the room, you'd be like, what the
Yeah, that's a great question.
I would hope that he prepared them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not showed it to them before, but at least said, hey, there's something really special and unique happening with your dad. So just want to let you know
to prepare. Well, and I think, like you said, I think they've done a great job talking about loss and showing how it still affects them. Or even now they'll be like, I wish my dad was here to see the success, blah, blah, blah. But like, even someone like Rob Kardashian, who the son, who obviously has gone down a dark, dark path. And it's like, well, yeah, he lost his dad when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And his dad was his best friend. And people forget that. They're like, oh, he's just like a messed up LA person. And it's like, no, like he's grieving his father, the only other male figure in his life, you know, just a lot of a lot more than just like, oh, Rob Kardashian's like crazy kind of thing. Yeah. So I don't
Do
know.
Feel
I feel like people forget that.
I like it makes me understand people on such a different level as soon as I find out that they lost a parent.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know if you do this, but people will be like, well, what do you do for fun or something like small talk at a party? And I'm like, oh, I have a podcast. And then when I tell them what it's about and they're like, oh my God, I want to talk, you know, and they like talk to you about it. I'm like, I would have never known that about you. And that's amazing. And wow. Now I feel, I look at them different, but I feel like you're in a club like right away.
Yeah.
Like you and totally together.
Totally.
Like,
I see you. Yeah. So it makes me view somebody completely different. Like, I feel like I can, okay. Like I can understand them differently. But it also like, so I had, there was an experience where my mom had like an issue with somebody and she was like, oh, like they said this or blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you can say whatever you want, but like, I know that it's the month that their mom passed away. So like, I don't care if that person slashes your tires, I'm still going to be on their side, you know?
Exactly.
I'm like, they have a free pass. They're allowed to do and say whatever the fuck they want this month because it is tough. So don't even bring another story to me about it.
It's crazy how you never know what people are going through.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing back to like entertainment and grief, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about, or just kind of like when I was like researching to talk to you, I'm like, this kept sticking out to me how like, okay, grief has such a, for me, I was like, oh my God, you're just sad for like 2 weeks and then like you move on and it's fine. But it's not like that. Obviously we know that. And I feel like that is one thing with the media of like, you know, magazine, it's the magazine cover that week. And then you don't hear about, you know, besides E! News doing stuff like that, like you don't hear about it again. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, that's the headline at the time. And we got to move on. We got to make money. We got to print something else. But like, I feel like that's one of the reasons I might maybe felt that way was like, oh, magazine covers, like it's, you know, off the sand the next week. So who, you know, not who cares, but it's old news.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now. So I don't know. I was just thinking that when it comes to like the media and grief.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with everything now, not just entertainment. I mean, the world that we live in, the media cycle moves so incredibly fast.
Yeah.
That there is, we've created this monster where there constantly has to be something new for people to want to tune in. There has to be something new for people to be interested in, to just, I don't know, get them going on something. Mm-hmm. It's like, the population has become insatiable pretty much. So I think that's a really great point that you bring up, that we've been so conditioned to feel like you just got to keep going. You got to move on to the next thing. Yeah. What's the next thing we can talk about? What can we do? That it's like, if you wanted to post about your mom like 3 weeks in a row, people are like, get over it already. Exactly. Like what else? Like talk about something else. You know, like what? Like
exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I definitely feel that. And that's something that I struggled with a little bit in terms of doing the podcast and having the Instagram that I do where I'm talking about it. Like, and I have family members that worry about me, that they're like, you know, we just want to make sure you're okay. Like people are going to think that you're like so miserable because you're still posting about your dad. And I'm like, well, just because I'm posting about him doesn't mean that I'm not okay. Or I can't like get past my grief for a day in time. It's just like, I feel like it's my way of keeping him alive. I feel like 100%. It's, you know, just talking about my grief because it's a part of me now.
Exactly. And it's healthy to talk about it. And it is something we deal with every day. So it's like, it's heavy. And then one thing, and I know you talked about this on one of your episodes and that's what reminded me, but so I watched Summer House, and the episode, and I talked about this on my podcast too, so people will know what I'm talking about. The episode that Carl's brother passed away and how I thought, and you had said the same thing, how they, I thought they handled it so well, how they produced it and how they show that just showed that was such a clear picture of how a phone call can change your life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, you think it was Lindsay's birthday. We're going to like party it up or whatever out in the Hamptons. But he gets that call that his brother is dead. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to feel. What do I do with my parents? Like, I thought they did a great job. And I'm like, we don't need more of that. But like, you know, like I, it was definitely shining a light on grief and I thought in death. And I thought, you know, it showed real life and what, yeah, what it's really like.
Yeah. And I, you saying that, I totally forgot that it happened on Lindsay's birthday. And I just recently was seeing a lot on social media that it was Lindsay Hubbard's birthday. So that means right. a year anniversary for Carl's brother had to have just passed last week or so.
Oh my God. You're so right.
Yeah. So I have to, oh, that's good. I have to go back to his Instagram and see if he posted about it, but I am really eager to see the new season of Summer House because I want to see if they go back to it at all, mm-hmm. because they should, because like we've been talking about, grief doesn't end. It's still yeah. going to be something that he has to go through. And, you know, hopefully they will. I think they are filming right now. So hopefully mm-hmm. they are going to talk about the year anniversary for him and, you know, what is he doing? You know, maybe the crew like plan something for him, something sweet yeah. around his brother. That'd be really nice because, oh, I don't know how you were, but I was catatonic for the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. Let's talk about anniversaries and milestones for sure. Cause that was something I wanted to bring up when you said your birthday was tough. That first year anniversary was my grief journey, the worst day of my whole grief journey.
Yeah,
like it was terrible and it was something I was not expecting. And I think that's what made it 10 times worse. But yeah, how was that for you, your first year, and how do you honor your father each year?
I had in some strange way convinced myself the first year was all just a test and it was him just seeing if I could handle mm-hmm. everything that came with him passing. And that if I did, and I checked off all the boxes and I made it through you're gonna have to edit this part. What am I trying to say? Oh, if I made it through the obstacle course, then he would come back.
Yeah.
And when he didn't, I was shocked, yeah. you know? And yeah. And really, for me, my dad passed on May 22nd, but it's those 5 days, May 17th through May 22nd mm. of when he was in the hospital that really is. So it's like, I have a death week, not even just a death day. And I remember everything. I remember getting the call. I remember going to the first hospital. I remember getting him moved to the second hospital. Mm-hmm. I remember having to talk about this and, you know, it was like the sunniest, most beautiful day in May. And now when it's sunny and beautiful in spring, like I start to like shake, like, cause mm-hmm. it just puts me back of to like what you said of like, no one knows or no one thinks that a phone call can just completely change your life. And I think that's what it is too. And I think that's what some people don't realize is it's not that you're sitting there feeling so deeply about the person. You certainly are. But what's layered on top of that is going back to the way that you felt, going back to that, the anxiety, the horror, yeah. the fear of what could possibly happen, just that feeling of helplessness, all of those things suddenly rush back to you again as you're confronted with that day. And the things that you were feeling at that time. So how do I honor him now? What do I do on the death anniversary? Gosh, I can't even remember. Oh, or this year.
Any day. Just have
to do that day. Yeah. I just try to do things that he would love. So actually for his birthday 1 year, I went on my bachelorette party. Aww. And my friends were like, are you sure you're going to want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, what is more Gary than being on the beach, drinking a bunch of vodka and being around all my friends? I mean, yeah. my dad's birthday was like an international event. Aww. And he would like start planning months in advance. So like, all right. So, and that worked out really well. And then Father's Day, what I do always try to do, I made a playlist on Spotify of all of his favorite songs, of songs that we love to listen to together. And I will just kind of find a quiet place, normally on the beach somewhere, and just feel like I'm hanging out with him and
That's
listening to it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
No one's told me about that. And I love that because music was such a big part of me and my mom's life. That's a really cool idea. I love that.
Yeah.
See, and that's what I tell people that are in their first year of grief. Like, y'all, it doesn't have to be a big event. Like, and mm-hmm. no shade to people. I always say, like, if you did this, like, you don't have to go do a fundraiser and like raise yeah. thousands of dollars and do a 5K. Like, you can just honor them in the simplest ways. Yeah. And it's just that moment with them that you need.
So I had those years. I mean, on his second year, what did we do the first year? Oh, the first year there was a mass back. We went to a different Catholic church, probably not invited back to the original one. Yeah. We had a mass, and then my aunt and uncle had put together like a beautiful dinner for, there was like 30 mm-hmm. people from our family that were there and just like were together on that day, which was really helpful for me. And I think, yeah. you know, it's things like that that make me not feel like that orphan that I was talking about, like to be around family. And then the second year we had, so my dad was cremated as a realtor. He said he felt that cemeteries were a waste of good real estate. Again, one of those jokes that he said that I'm like, all right, well, I hope you meant this because we're taking it as Bible now. So we don't have like a, you know, a gravesite or a place to go visit him. And he was very much a person of notoriety in the town where he worked. So I had a bench dedicated to him outside of his office building. The office building had been in our family for generations. So you know, and that was a story for another time, a whole guilt thing that I felt in not continuing the business. But so I had the bench dedicated on his second year anniversary. And then we all went out to like a fun
That's cool.
get together. And that was nice. But that was kind of like, all right, after that, like, I feel like that was good. We don't need to keep making it like a spectacle cool, every though. Year. Yeah. And maybe we will, you know, maybe like on the 7 year anniversary for some reason or 10 year, like we'll make a big deal out of it or whatever, or you know, when he's turning 70 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, I think just a recommendation for anybody, like sit down with yourself, you know, give yourself some time, like a month in advance and think about it. You know, what would I want that day? And that's hard too when you're dealing with a big family and you've got other people to kind of to accommodate. But, you know, figure out some way to help your heart a little bit that day.
My, I haven't shared this on the podcast before, but my mom passed away in April and then her birthday is the end of October. And the first year for her like birthday, I guess. Well, yeah, her birthday. Sorry. Not, I guess my aunt put together this thing with like the lanterns that you like put yeah. the flame in and it flies away. So we did this and like,
uh-oh.
They like didn't fly away. They all flew in the water and it was like windy and it was the biggest fail, but we were dying laughing. And we were just like, it was one of those moments where you're like, even though it didn't work, this is the coolest story. And like, yeah. I feel like my mom is laughing somewhere and like,
oh, good.
It was sweet because my aunt was like mortified that it didn't work. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? Like the lanterns, but one finally worked after like an hour. It was hilarious. Like it was such a moment, but anyway.
Oh, good.
So yeah, everyone's just doing the best they can. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and for being so open. Do you have anything else that I didn't talk about or just to pimp yourself out on Instagram and all that fun stuff?
Yeah. I mean, check out So Sorry for Your Loss. And on Instagram, I'm at So Sorry with Gianna. And I've got a couple Facebook groups on So Sorry for Your Loss as well. Yeah.
You're good. I need to get in the Facebook world.
Oh, I hate it. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like an old person, but I'm so much more comfortable with Instagram. So I like keep trying to ignore it. But I know there's obviously an audience there that will want this too. So
I know. But, I think I've been saying for like a year, I'm like, y'all, I'm about to get on Facebook. Like, we got this, but it's okay. Okay. Well, thank you
so much.
We'll
push each other then. I'll do it if you do it.
Yeah. But I'm the same. I feel like a grandma. I'm like, what is this icon? Okay, y'all. Well, make sure you check her out. And thank you so much, Gianna. That was amazing.
Thank you so much. That was great. Of course.